The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, O
Lord. The tax collectors and sinners were all seeking the company of Jesus to hear what he had to say. And the Pharisees and the scribes complained. This man, they said, welcomes sinners and eats with them. So he spoke this parable to them. What man of you with 100 sheep, losing one, would not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the missing one till he found it? And when he found it, would he not joyfully take it on his shoulders? And then, when he got home, call together his friends and neighbors. Rejoice with me, he would say, I have found my sheep that was lost. In the same way, I tell you, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one repentant sinner than over 99 virtuous men who have no need of repentance. Or again, what woman with 10 drachmas would not, if she lost one, light a lamp and sweep out the house and search thoroughly till she found it? And then, when she had found it, call together her friends and neighbors. Rejoice with me, she would say, I have found the drachma I lost. In the same way, I tell you, there is rejoicing among the angels of God over one repentant sinner. But he also said, a man had two sons. The younger said to his father, Father, let me have the share of the estate that would come to me. So the father divided the property between them. A few days later, the younger son got together everything he had and left for a distant country where he squandered his money on a life of debauchery. When he had spent it all, that country experienced a severe famine, and now he began to feel the pinch. So he hired himself out to one of the local inhabitants who put him on his farm to feed the pigs. And he would willingly have filled his belly with the husks the pigs were eating. But no one offered him anything. Then he came to his senses, said, how many of my father's paid servants have more food than they want, and here am I dying of hunger? I will leave this place and go to my father and say, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I no longer deserve to be called your son. Treat me as one of your paid servants. So he left the place and went back to his father. While he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was moved with pity. He ran to the boy, clasped him in his arms, and kissed him tenderly. Then his son said, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I no longer deserve to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, Quick, bring out the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the calf we had been fattening and kill it. We are going to have a feast, a celebration, because this son of mine was dead and has come back to life. He was lost and is found. And they began to celebrate. Now the elder son was out in the fields. And on his way back, as he drew near the house, he could hear music and dancing. Calling one of the servants, he asked what it was all about. Your brother has come, replied the servant, and your father has killed the calf we had fattened because he has got him back safe and sound. He was angry then and refused to go in, and his father came out to plead with him. But he answered his father, Look, all these years I've slaved for you and never once disobeyed your orders. Yet you never offered me so much as a kid for me to celebrate with my friends. But for this son of yours, when he comes back after swallowing up your property, he and his women, you killed the calf we'd been fattening. The father said, My son, you are with me always, and all I have is yours. But it was only right we should celebrate and rejoice. Because your brother here was dead and has come to life. He was lost and is found. The Gospel of the Lord. home mission Sunday, so we've a pastoral letter from our bishop. I think quite a few of them have probably written a letter, and some of you got a leaflet in your pew, not from the bishop. I'll make this available at the end. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, the parable of the prodigal son, which we have just heard, is better named the return of the prodigal, as it celebrates the return of one who has lost to his family his rightful place. The story presents us with the difficulty of turning back and admitting our failures and our mistakes, and asking to be accepted once more by the very people we rejected. This is a challenge which we all face at some point in our lives. It is something faced by many of our own faith community, who for one reason or another have decided no longer to celebrate with us on Sundays. They may still see themselves as Catholic and so identify themselves, but in terms of being part of the worshipping community, they have chosen an alternative path. Home Mission Sunday, which we celebrate today, is a time when we are called to reflect on the mission of the Church, to proclaim the good news of Jesus to the world, but particularly at home, in the streets where we live, in the families, communities, and workplaces where we spend our time. The story of the prodigal's return to the embrace of his father is one of tenderness and compassion. The father waits longingly for the return of his son, and when he sees him, runs out to meet him. The son, for his part, is overwhelmed and startled by the welcome he receives. I wonder how startled and overwhelmed those of our alienated or non-celebrating brothers and sisters are if and when they return to church. It may be that they too are embraced and celebrated, but it may also be their experience that their return goes unnoticed or overlooked. We can be so preoccupied with our own situation that we miss the opportunity to be alert to the situations of those around us. It is estimated that while there are around 1 million church-going Catholics in England and Wales, there are at least 4 million who rarely or never visit their local parish. For some time now, the Church has been speaking in various documents and from the mouths of popes about the new evangelization. Some of us may have heard about it. We may even have read some of the documents the Church has issued around the subject. But I imagine that for many of us, this is something with which we are largely unfamiliar. The new evangelization is a call to each of us to reconsider how, when, and where we offer the gospel to those around us. It is a rallying cry to all Catholics to bring the person of Jesus to the world in a new and dynamic way, and so become involved in evangelization. It is a task which the Church sees as particularly urgent because of the expansive, penetrating changes in present-day society. But in fact, evangelizing is the grace and vocation proper to the Church, her inmost identity. She exists in order to evangelize. In his pontificate so far, Pope Francis has been demonstrating the immense power of words and actions when they are intimately linked to the message of Christ, a message of life and hope for the world. He clearly preaches what he believes and practices what he preaches. We are called to do the same, and the Church encourages us to do it now in the words of Blessed Pope John Paul II, with a new ardour, methods, and expression. I therefore propose to hold a symposium in November to allow us as a diocese to engage with the new evangelization and to see how we as a particular church can respond to the universal call to take the gospel to the world. We are all invited to be part of that conversation. It will give us the opportunity to gather and discuss the documents together, to reflect on our role as evangelizers, and to encourage one another in our work. It will also allow us to be creative in our response, seeking new ways of engaging with our faith and passing it on to others. Evangelization has three functions. Firstly, it is the announcement of the gospel to those who do not know Jesus Christ. Secondly, it also includes the continuing growth in faith that is the ordinary life of the church. Thirdly, the new evangelization is directed especially to those who have become distant from the church. On Home Mission Sunday, this last group is of particular significance and concern. We face an enormous task, but it is one to which we are all committed through our baptism and confirmation. We are witnesses for Christ, and we are to be courageous in transmitting the faith, whatever the cost. We do not do it alone, however, as St. Paul says in our second reading today. I thank Christ Jesus, our Lord, who has given me strength and who judged me faithful enough to call me into his service. We are invited then to embark upon this new phase of our lives as Catholic Christians. We must pray for the strength and courage to serve Christ and Christ alone. May God bless us all as we seek to discern God's will and to pray for the well-being of his church. Of course, signed Christopher, Bishop of Plymouth. And you will find there are copies at the back for you to take away. And also a copy of the invitation to this symposium, which was a little A5 yellowy-coloured leaflet.